Blog Talk Radio.
I hope that all of you are staying dry and cool, hopefully. It's one of those kind of evenings here. For sure, we're expecting thunderstorms, so if I suddenly blink out of existence for a period of time, don't worry about it. They haven't come and gotten me. It's probably that I've lost power. Thank you for turning up after that pile of material I sent to you. Happily, we're not going to go through it all tonight because that would be, I think, more than I could handle. I decided that it was really important to talk about the universal laws with all of you. All of us, of course, know that there are laws all over the place that governments throw up there and parents throw up there, and almost every time you turn around, there's a new law being made and broken. Most of us have tried to always live by the laws, but there are sometimes that they become antiquated, sometimes that they become not appropriate for the times they serve. And so man, in his great wisdom, alters them, changes them. The different laws that we have that are put upon us by our fellow man sometimes have religious connotations, sometimes they have cultural connotations, sometimes they have ethnic connotations, sometimes they have no sense at all, but that's a law that somebody gave us and we had to abide by it. No matter what, every time a law is broken, there are consequences and there are judges and there are trials and there are ways of appealing and there are ways like diplomatic immunity to get out of following the laws of the particular area that you're in. So the man-made laws, well, I guess at some point in time, well-intended, don't really serve us that well, and mostly they're an annoyance for a lot of us. Some of them are good, like, you know, don't kill someone and don't rob and don't steal and things like that. But for the most part, we kind of know they're there. We try very hard to adhere to them. We try hard to follow them to a certain degree. But they really don't have, they in many ways guide us or channel us in the directions that were thought appropriate for the times, whatever. But the reality is people don't follow them all the time. People make a habit of trying to get out of following them. And we come to a point in time where sometimes they're just ridiculous. So we appeal them. No, we don't appeal them. We repeal them. And so our laws are sort of mutable. We come and we go with them. We change them if we don't like them. We redefine them. But the universal laws are something that are not changeable. The universal laws, according to what I've read in the research that I did, have been around for over 14 million years. And they are universal. And they are those principles and rules for governing human beings' conduct, which are universal in their acceptability, translation, and philosophical basis. In other words, they apply to everyone, everywhere. And what is so phenomenal about the universal laws is that they are, how do I say it, self-governing to a great degree. It's not a matter of, oh, you broke this law, now you're going to get in trouble. It's you set something in motion when you break or change or try to get around a law, and there is a direct cause of there is a direct reaction to it, and you suffer the consequences of that action. Now, it may not happen immediately, but it does happen, and so it's sort of like you have to understand these laws and how they function within our reality. It is those laws that either bring abundance or lack of abundance into our lives. And I sent you, I thought originally when I was studying spirituality, when I was going through the very beginnings of this whole process of understanding how my reality worked and how much impact I had upon my reality, I thought there were only 10 or 12 of them. I had no idea that there were I don't think the number ever stops. I found close to 40 of them, and I'm pretty sure there are a lot more of them. And if you've read through them, you're going to find that there is an ongoing theme to all of them. And it's really quite fascinating to catch it when you do. But I want you to understand that these universal laws are out there to give us a guideline of how we can have greater control and greater richness within our realities. They aren't really meant to make us do anything. They are the laws of nature. They are the laws of truth. They call them many different kinds of laws, but the reality is, if this happens, then this happens. And so long as you know that that is there, then you have a choice. Then you can choose to flow with the law or go against the law and realize that something is going to come right back at you. So it's and I think that there are a couple of things that are really important for you to remember, become cognizant of, try to kind of put a thing in your hat and say, okay, let me remember this. They govern, they don't so much govern us physically. It's more that they govern our consciousness. And it's our consciousness that has to be aware of these laws. And when our consciousness is aware of these laws and understands them and can flow with them, then we have an amazing amount of control, for want of a better word, over what comes our way. It isn't so much as you know, with the law of abundance and the law of attraction that you know, if you take this kind of action, then this will come at you. It's more of your conscious perception of what is going on. The things that happen to us in our lives are not random. They are not, you know, oh, I've had a tough run of luck or I've had a good run of good luck. It's everything that comes to us is in direct correlation to what's going on inside of us, to our perception, to our consciousness and our perception of our reality. And direct correlation, absolutely. And the more you understand that, the more you're able to change and direct your thoughts and change and direct what comes into you. So it's a very it's an exciting process, but the only thing is that you have to understand that these cosmic laws, these whatever you want to call them, these rules, they never fail, they never waver, they react the same way every time. It's a if this then this. That's simple. And so long as you understand the process, so long as you understand how it applies to you and how you can apply it to your life. Now, a lot of people have been, you know, asking, okay, I want to be on a spiritual journey, but what does that mean? This is what it means. These are the laws that are profoundly in effect within your life, within your reality. And how you apply them, perceive them, and flow with them determines what you bring into your life. So it's you know, I say it's simple. It's not that simple because it's just because you are, you know, say for instance that you have a habit of giving, oh, I don't know, a certain amount of money every time something comes around. That's not exactly what the universe is talking about. Being kind to other people because you think you have to. That is not what this means. If you think you have to, you're not doing it for the right reason. And if you don't do it for the right reason, you don't get the turnaround that you're looking for. And the reality is here, you can do the right thing for the wrong reason, and you're not going to get the return on your investment. Most people think that you know, by doing things one way gets them great richness, and it doesn't. It has to be consciously, purposely, and intentionally doing it for the right reason, and that brings the result back to you. So that there has to be an inner dialogue. We can't do things without understanding the results of our actions. And we all make mistakes. You know, that's why we're here. And all of us screw up. That's why we're here. And some of us screw up a lot better than others do. But for the most part, it's important that we understand that it's how you perceive what is going on that is the that makes or breaks the situation. If you're doing something because you think it's the right thing, but you don't think it's really going to work, but you're doing it anyhow because you know you have to, you're putting more negative out there than anything else, and that's what's going to come back at your life. And you sometimes wonder, why do good things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? It takes place inside of them because they are perceiving things in a negative way, in a sad way, and that's what comes back at them. So it has to do with how you are perceiving, how you are acting, how you are flowing. I would love to know how many of you even knew that these laws were out there. And nobody's called in, and this is supposed to be a dialogue, so I expect some of you to either start Skyping or dialing, because I'm not going to lecture to you. This is something that I don't learn if you don't talk to. And you know, I put the material together, so come on and share with me here, because we all will learn even more if we can talk about this stuff and understand there's no right and there's no wrong. Of course, when it comes to the laws, then there is a right and wrong. But your philosophy and what you think about this, and you know, I just, who knew there were almost 40 of these laws, and I think there are more. And it's just a matter of understanding the underlying message that is in every single one of these laws is it is your choice. It is your choice how you put your energy out there. It is your choice what you pull back to yourself. And there may be over 100. And I just stopped at about 30-some because it just seems to me that you know, I was only going to throw so much at you, and I figured, you know, we're talking, you know, if you're running this off, you've got a lot of paper invested in this. But you have to understand that it's totally up to us, and that's what you know the message is in all of this. That's what the true message to the secret was. It's up to us, but it's how we perceive. It's our consciousness. And remember, we only use a very small portion of our consciousness, as they say, 6%. So that's your awareness that you are utilizing. And when you're using your conscious mind, the only material you have to draw from is what you see, feel, taste, smell, and touch, or, well, your five senses, whichever they are, so that you have a very limited perception of what's going on, and that keeps you in the physical reality, and you don't understand that there is a greater world out there, that there is a greater consciousness out there. And I think what they said was if we had access to our whole consciousness, our brains would be greater than 200 times greater than all of the computers that are out there in the world today. So we have great potential here, and you have a level of consciousness inside your higher consciousness that is attached to the infinite that has the ability to not only work miracles, but to help you to manifest whatever it is you want to draw into your life. And it doesn't happen by doing a vision board. It doesn't happen by, you know, reading a whole bunch of books and sitting there and absorbing the wisdom that is there. Reality is it's up to you. It's totally up to you. It's 100% up to you. It is not up to some deity sitting on a cloud. It is up to you because you are that deity, part of you sitting on a cloud. The rest of it's inside. And so it's a matter of you don't look and say, well, what the world is doing to you. Understand that the world isn't doing anything to you other than mirroring back to you exactly what you're putting out. And sometimes we think we're putting out one thing, and the reality is that it's something very different coming back at us. So we have to really be very, very much aware of exactly where we are coming from and how we are perceiving things. And if you perceive from your conscious mind, you are limiting yourself. If you perceive from your higher conscious, you are spreading, you know, you are spreading reality out and saying, you know, oh boy, I'm in for a good time here. So it's really a matter of how are we going to address these laws, because we can't change them. They're universal. They've been around forever. They're going to be around, you know, long after we're gone. Every culture, every religion, every aspect of humanity is governed by them. And if you take the time to understand what the rules or the laws are of whatever country you're in, take the time to understand the laws that are governing your spirit's journey through this and every other time frame. It's profound. It's amazing. It's just it's overwhelming. And the more we get into the different laws, the more and more you'll understand how you have total control. You have free choice. And by utilizing that free choice, you are able to change situations you have in your life that you are not comfortable with. So we've got 111 here. This is definitely, and it does. I'm pulling people on air because this is not meant to be a lecture. Hi, is this Queen? Hello, 111. Are you there? Hello.
Hi. I'm just listening. I just tuned in, so I don't have the essence of what is going on at the moment. So.
Okay, I'll come back at you then. Okay, so what we've got here, see, there is somebody that was brave enough to call in. So come on, the rest of you. This is meant to be a round table. And right now the table is a little lopsided, so let's get some other people involved here. Because it really is important. And it isn't that I don't want to talk. That's not it. I'm usually, you know, fully capable of holding a terrific conversation for 2 hours on any topic you want to throw out there. But this is where we share. This is where we learn to grow. This is where we, you know, put different philosophies out there. This is where we ask questions of one another and everybody answers them. These laws, they don't have anything to do with religion. They are totally, totally spiritual. And one of the things that I wrote was, mistakenly, many people, when they think of our source or creator, whatever they might perceive that to be individually, believe that you must be a religious or think that they have to be a religious fanatic or a super spiritual person to enable and allow the universal laws and principles to produce their desires and begin to create, or, if you prefer, co-create positive changes in their life. That's not true. The universal laws and principles that govern every aspect of our life are responsible for determining our life, as well as every event, condition, circumstance in the entire cosmos, and they operate with the same precise, predictable, and unwavering certainty, making no distinctions, judgments, or determinations as to who, how, when, what, or where they work for. So they are colorblind. They are culture blind. They apply to everybody. They applied to Hitler and they applied to Gandhi equally. No judgment. There is no judgment in these laws at all. And that's, I think, one of the loveliest parts of them. There is no judgment, but there's also no appeal. If you suddenly mess up and you have done something that you know you shouldn't have done, if you do something that you feel badly about, if you know that there are consequences coming your way, are there things you can do to try to mediate those consequences? And you can type it in the chat room. If you mess up and you know you've done it and you know that there is a cosmic law that you have definitely stepped on, is there any way you can change the result that is coming your way? And I don't think there is a delay here. So people have keyboards. Come on, I'm going to be asking you questions here. So don't sit back and just put your feet up and think that it's okay. Can I comment? Yes, of course you can comment. And that's exactly right. You can change your perception of the consequences. You can do that. You can't stop the consequences from coming your way, but you can change your perception of them so that it is mediated to a great degree. The consequences are still coming, but how you perceive them, and sometimes if you understand why something is coming and hitting you in the face, and you understand why, you can work with what happens and sort of apply it to a better direction that you're going in. But the reality here is, and you're all right. Every one of you are right. I just don't be scared you're going to say the wrong thing. You can't possibly say the wrong thing here. And you might open somebody's eyes to something they had not thought about before. But the chain must reflect the subconscious heart. Yes, that's very true. And it has to be, you can't just suddenly say, oh, my God, I've made a mistake. Let me, you know, try to build brownie points someplace else, because that doesn't work. But if there is true repentance in your heart, if you are, working at making changes that will sort of alleviate some of the smarting that's going to come when the payback comes, it does work, and it does. There is a sense of understanding that goes on, which does make it easier to deal with whatever happens. I made a huge mistake when I was very, very young. I'm not telling you what it was, but it was a big one. And at the time, I didn't actually understand that what I had done would have consequences at some other point in time in my life. I mean, I always knew it was a mistake, and I felt badly about doing it. But life went on and decades passed, and yet I knew that at some point in time I would feel someone do the same thing to me that I did to someone else, and it did happen. And when it happened, I knew exactly the source of the whole thing. I knew that I had set it in motion. I knew that I deserved what I got. I wasn't happy with it. It was very hurtful. But I did understand just exactly what had happened, and it made it because I knew that it was merely something I had set in motion decades and decades before. And of course at the time I never said to myself, "Oh, I'll pay for this later on." But it came back to me in direct proportion. It was just the most amazing thing. I mean, at some point. I did sit back and say, oh, my goodness, how perfectly synchronistic that was. It just absolutely knocked me off my feet that it was a direct parallel. I felt the hurt that I must have caused another person, and I understood that it was not only did I understand that it was not something I ever wanted to do again to someone else, but it taught me an amazing lesson. But had I known about that kind of repercussions that I was going to suffer, I am fairly certain sure that I never would have done what I did in the first place, because I would just have known that the hurt was so profound I just really didn't want to experience it myself. And I would imagine a lot of you have had times when you have done things that a part of you said, oh, I'm going to pay for this later, and you do. And there's a part of you that knows you're going to pay for it later. It's quite phenomenal that as spiritual beings, as spirits that are on this human journey, the spirit within us knows about all these laws, certainly understands them. And the more and more and more we can get into the conscious mind with the fact that these laws are out there, that these things do apply to our lives, the more and more and more we are going to experience a better flow, a better synchronicity, a better working in concert with these laws. Now, it's you know, they're not the kind that you can appeal. They're absolute. And I think that if the laws of men were absolute and did not have the flexibility that the laws of men today now have, I would strongly think that there would be less of you know, people would not break the law as much if they knew that the result of their actions was going to cause them harm in return. And you know, I mean, the simple explanation is like a murderer. If you murder somebody, then somebody's going to take you out at some point in time. And it does happen. You know, the murderers that are caught are mostly taken out or done something that is appropriately the same. But people who do things like murder and think they have gotten away with it don't. A part of them dies when they take the life of another. A part of them never comes back. They lose a part of themselves. And you know, we don't always see the wisdom of it. It isn't absolute. You know, I kill one person, somebody kills me, or I kill 100 and you know, somehow I have to pay it back. I mean, it does balance out, but it balances out over time. It doesn't necessarily mean that this lifetime the balance is going to be complete, but the balance will ultimately be there on a universal scale. And it is amazing. I'm trying to read the chat room and respond and stuff, and I'm not as good at multitasking as I would like to be. I think that, you know, I really would love to hear what some of you think about this. Because as a spiritual being, you're in a circle for spiritual development. You're here to learn about this stuff. Are you aware of what's going on? Are you aware of all of the laws? I sent you almost 40 of them. Are you aware of how you perceive is how you perceive your reality is what comes back to you? It's a mirror of what's inside of you. Are you aware of that? Oh, Queen has her hand up. Okie dokie. Hi, Queen.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
How are you today?
Doing well, I hope.
Well, only you really know. But anyway, when I tuned in, I got the feeling that this is appropriate. And then from listening to the direction you're moving in, I'm going to share a story with you in terms of man's law versus spiritual laws and how in my life in the past 6 months I've really seen and learned and know for myself that there are truly at least two, I'm sure many more other spiritual laws, many more other levels of spiritual laws. But I was summoned by the courts of man to be a participant and to have to wear a lawsuit, which to me was very frivolous, and had to be involved in a lot of soul searching and dealing with the laws of man, which I knew were totally BS from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But I also had the blessing of being able to tap into spiritual law and or the spiritual realms, which took me into to the halls of justice, the real halls of justice, the halls of could say karma, the halls of truth and balance, and to really, really feel the spiritual laws on the earth plane. And as a result of that, I saw the two battling with each other. And when I would be consumed in the fires of man's laws, the spiritual laws would come through, the spiritual realm would come through, the two rulers of my existence, the higher power of my existence, they would show their energy and their power and their wisdom. And then I'd be dabbling on the earth plane, and then they would come back and show more power and more power and more power. Well, and the way the situation was set up, and I created it through my own misjudgment and whatever reasons. I don't deny that I helped to create the drama that I participated in. But ultimately, the spiritual laws, of course, won.
Mm-hmm.
And had I not a seeker, a resident, a conscious resident of the spiritual realms, rest assured, I would have lost. I definitely, you were speaking about losing parts of yourself. During that battle, I saw myself being ripped apart and like the phoenix, you know, I have risen and resurrected myself, but I saw myself being torn and ripped and going through mutilated because that's man's law and that's the way it operates. But on the other hand, I had the spiritual realm. As I was being torn, they were putting me back together. I was being put back together. Fit into what you're saying?
Yeah, I would think so. Not everybody has to be taken apart to be put back together again, but I think it's a very apropos, and I think your perception of it is perfect.
Good.
So yeah, that definitely is what we're talking about here. I think that. But tell me, how long have you known about the universal laws? How long have you known that they were even out there?
That's a tricky question. Probably always on some level. It's just a matter of raw remembering, instead of remembering. You walk into nature and, you know, the evidence is there. You, as a child, you have certain experiences I knew. So I've known for a long time, but this was like an open portal. Instead of it just being glimpses, this
uh-huh.
opened the door, took the veils away. This was real clear.
There are just so many different laws, and I have to admit that while as a young child I understood the golden rule and what you put out comes back at you, I mean, what goes around comes around, all of those terms, but I don't think that I was truly aware of the universality of the laws and all of that until probably the late 60s. When I, was really studying heavy duty. And then a light bulb went on. Just because I know about them and just because I've looked into them and I understand them on an intellectual level does not necessarily mean that I have mastered them all. Because if I had, I'd be walking on water out there and, I would have ascended on a cloud. And, I'd be talking to Enoch and the guys up there. But so that's not the case, obviously. So, but I think that for the most part, when, and let's get down to the nuts and bolts of this here, Well, I'm talking cosmic stuff, and I'm talking higher consciousness stuff. A lot of you guys are saying, well, how can I make this work in my life? You know, how do I use it? How do I make things happen? How do I cause miracles in my life? And so, you know, and I'm trying to get there. I'm doing my best. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you feel about your whole reality. It's like, I have challenges in my life. Why are they there? I must have asked for them. Well, if I asked for them, then it's not just that I was trying to punish me, but there must be something here that I need to learn. And so it changes the way I perceive everything. It's like not, oh my God, this is horrible. It's okay, this is great. This is another opportunity to stretch and grow and learn something that's profound. And, you know, is it easier? Yeah, in some ways it truly is. I don't know who, Deb, do you know who 773 is? Are you searching or are you typing?
But you know, in this situation that I'm speaking of, that was the kind of thing that was coming through it as well, you know, the perception of it. Because when I could perceive that there was a way out, I was listening to somebody the other day, and what she said was, if there's a problem, there's always a solution.
Oh,
and
yeah.
just to remember that. And as far as miracles are, from my perspective, they're happening always. What we classify as miracles, it's a constant. So it's our perception of, you know, of our world and how we perceive it and how we receive it and how we internalize the situation. Even in terms of having gone through that, it also has called me to, because of being ripped apart, recognize my capacity to heal thyself, to
mm-hmm.
really heal thyself, and to do it rapidly, to recognize where I was vulnerable on the physical level, and to recognize that through my own words that I had the
but,
that I have.
But were you also aware that it is something you drew to you because you needed to have that recognition?
Well, I'm aware that I helped to create it, yeah, and that all these wonderful things that I have been able to take from it, that's something that I'm good at, is to be able to take the good out of what is so-called a bad situation. Yes, I would have preferred I did it in another manner, but perhaps I wouldn't have been able to hold on to or to, what am I looking for, to ascend, to move at such a rapid pace otherwise, because I was allowing these things, these universal laws which dwell within me,
mm-hmm.
they were dormant. They were dormant. They were like, you know, okay, you're sitting here, you know, when are you going to make us do something with us? When are you going to activate us? Yes, to activate these things. And that's what it caused me to say. I had no choice. It was that or die. I mean, literally, on many
mm-hmm.
different levels. And I chose to activate it. So I look at it as a blessing. And
oh, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's the big thing. When the walls come tumbling down, folks, it's because you've asked for that to happen, whether you've grown outside of something or, you know, whether your reality has to stretch or whatever the reason. And you know, the walls have come tumbling down on me a number of times, and I look back now and I understand why I had to have that happen, and that most probably I had asked for it. Let's pull Marie in and see what she has to add. Hi, Marie, you're on.
Hi, how is everyone? Well, I know how everyone is. I've been sitting here listening to you. We're all good.
Yes, we are.
I was looking at your law of action,
mm-hmm.
and I think the law of action is kind of coming in really strong, and it's for everyone right now because it's a kind of a balancing act on how much do I walk in faith or how much do I get out there and roll up my sleeves and start pushing the ball up the, you know, the mountain, pushing the boulder. And I think it needs some clarification for people that when they think of action, they think of physical action.
Mm-hmm.
And we come from very busy culture. I mean, everything, in, especially in this American culture, is do, 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 work, 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 work. And but to meditate and to be settled in your consciousness, your higher consciousness, and let things work from that level is also action. And,
oh, absolutely.
And,
and it is the higher consciousness that has to take the action and do the perceiving.
Exactly, but most people don't know that, and they get all confused. You know, they listen to the, what's the name of that book, The Secret, and this and that, and it's very confusing to people what this law of action really means.
Oh, yeah. No, the taking action is changing yourself. It's changing your perception. It's changing how you are perceiving things. And by that changing, by that alteration of your vibrational energy, and we're talking here consciousness, which is non-physical, and we're talking energy, which again has no tactile means of anything. It's we're in the etheric realms here, and so you know when that is changed, then the balance is swung, and there is a difference and a change, and your pathway alters because it has to, because you have changed. And that's, I think, you know, the most important thing that we have to understand here is that not only are we in total control of our actions, what we do, how we perceive, we are totally in control of what comes our way. So that it is that God within that we should be talking to, that we should be reaching for, that we should be stretching for. Not asking for help from outside because we're the one that are in total control. So you know, nobody's coming in, you know, on the white horse to save us. We have to do it ourselves. And we have to find the white horse and we have to get up on it ourselves. It's inside. It's inside all of us. And
the
when
white,
we take
I like that. You have to find it there. When I wanted to mention a friend of mine, Virginia Hoyt, and I was channeled in a book some years ago, and the book is called Spirit of Wisdom. But we were in contact with what I called and identified himself as the spirit of the Thoth from the Egyptian era, and he was teaching us, so you know, we took dictation basically.
Mm-hmm.
And along with these universal laws, he taught us about forces that hold these laws together. I'm just going to read them real quick if that's okay. They're real short. I'm just going to read the title to them.
Sure.
The force was one, which we all know was gravitational forces. Number two was atomic forces. Number three was magnetic forces. Number four were nuclear forces, okay, straight out of science class. And then also subatomic forces that we're beginning to understand now. But then he went into mirror forces, MIRROR forces.
Mm-hmm.
Seven was out, OUT forces, which is my favorite one. And number eight was nominal forces. And number nine was subnominal forces.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to say that eight forces, the out force, the 7/4 is the coolest of all, because what that one says basically is, this is a general example of it, everything that is normal, there is an outforce where something exists outside of the normal occurrences. It's
uh-huh.
that moment where everything changes against all rules. And they gave us the example, if you don't like what's going on in your life and your angels are flubbing on the job and your family's not acting right and the divine universe, the laws just are not working for you, you can call in the outforce, which is basically, for those who believe in God, is to call up to God and say, hello.
Well, the material you're talking about, the material you're talking about, the TOS material, is described in greater detail in the Emerald Tablet material that was channeled by Dr. Dural, and he does go into the polarity and the balancing of the energies and the law of reflection, which is the different names for the same things that you've been talking about. That material is very interesting and certainly something that I've been studying for quite a while here, and at some point in time we'll get stuff out on the website on it. But anybody who's interested in going onto the internet, the Dr. Dural material on the Emerald Tablets, he does go into the subatomic stuff. He goes into quantum physics and TOS. My gosh, he was an Atlantean from 50,000 years ago, and he did take followers with him when Atlantis went under, and he took the ship of the Master of Light, it was a spaceship, by the way, Doral, and they flew to the land of Chem, which was Egypt, and he took his staff and he surprised them all with a sound that made them stand still in their tracks. And he ruled in Egypt for over 15,000 years, then became Hermes. And his writings became the foundation for a lot of the alchemy that is out there today. And they were also the foundation for the Corpus Hermetica, which goes way, way back. So, again, these laws have been out there. Now, the TOS material theoretically goes back to at least first century BCE, and probably before then, because if he's been around and this material goes back to 50,000 years ago, it's out there, and if this material has been around for this long, it has to have relevance to our everyday life now. Please pay attention to it. The TOS material is very reminiscent of the Bible story of Moses, and it happened before Moses. So, it does make you wonder, where does this material actually come from? It comes from out of time, and it has been the universal laws at least 14 billion years old. It's been around a long time, folks. It applies to us unconditionally. It applies to us absolutely. So it's important that you know what these laws are, so that you can either choose to flow with them or not. I suggest you do, frankly. It makes life a lot easier. But take a look at them, because, I mean, the law of cause and effect, a lot of these laws you've heard of, but you haven't really heard of them the way that spiritually speaking, they are put out here. And the law of gravitude, I don't know if you've had time to read through all of these or not, but it's important for you to understand them, because it changes your perception of your reality profoundly. And the more you understand,
maybe
go ahead.
Since you know so much about it, like when Divine Brother Toth is what I called him first came to me. I had no idea who he was. I had to call my friend who knew more about Egypt because I wasn't trusting him. I had to get an okay before I, you know, entertained his wisdom or his energy even in my space. And so what you're telling me is even more information because past us publishing the book, I actually haven't done that much research into him. So I would personally be very interested in knowing more about the laws in detail, even if we did set three or four laws at a time and really, really looked at them at some point, because you can skim across so much stuff and not really learn it. And I think these laws are the basis of the ultimate understanding of who we are.
Well, when you sit down and you really do look at them, and not just randomly, you know, apply it to your life. See, it works. It absolutely works. They work absolutely, absolutely. And the more you understand that, the more you are able to flow with them, be synchronistic with them, and take benefit from them, because if you're flowing from them and if you're making them a part of your everyday reality cannot help but be phenomenal. You have to understand that this is where you get the abundance from. And you know, wishing or praying or even meditating doesn't make it so. What makes it so is your understanding higher consciously, and then your perception of your reality. If you perceive that you are in a bad place, I guarantee you, you're in a bad place. You've sent out the message, and this is what the universe has given you. And it's sort of like, don't complain, this is what you asked for. And
that asking for is real tricky. I was talking to a friend today, and she said, darn it, every year I said next year's going to be better, and next year isn't better. And she said, it occurred to me, I keep putting everything off for another year. When you say next year, then the universe just hears next year. And so We just keep pushing it further. And you really have to watch your language, because the universal laws are not discriminatory. The particles come together just to give you what you ask for. And a lot of us don't know that we're asking for the wrong thing or in the wrong way.
Absolutely. I know that I had a friend who constantly said, I always attract losers. It's inevitable. And you know what? She did. But she put it out there. And you know, it's. I mean, and that's taking it down to a pretty base level here. They're really meant to be consciousness laws. They do apply to our reality because, of course, we're in a human form. Well, Chris, then call in, pick up the phone, and call in, and don't agree with it all. would love to hear you. Call in and tell us what you think. We know your number. Call in.
Checking to see if my mic was open. Sorry to interrupt you, Barbara. But I did want to speak on Tahuti. You all call him Thoth or Dajan, and the presence of that energy is strong with me, and that vibration of Marie. Thoth in Kemet stands beside the scales of justice, the goddess Maat, balance, truth, justice, who I invoked a whole lot while I was going through that that experience. And he also writes down, he's a timekeeper, and the energy of Thoth, Tahuti, is the timekeeper. And also, I would say, karma, or your life, the Akashic record. And I'm seeing now that because we are gathered here together now, I'm seeing a scroll, wow, being opened, and that tonight, as we enter into the other realm, and if we choose, to have the experience of traveling. Barbara calls it a spaceship. I call it a boat of a million years. We would have the company of Tahuti to open more portals for us. I see it. I feel the energy. I mean, I'm so glad that we are able to together bring forth that energy of the other spiritual laws, and that Tahuti is with us now. I mean, it's so strong. I don't know how you all are feeling about what I'm saying, but that's what I'm feeling, and my heart is light as a feather, which is the scales of my heart, which is important. Uh-huh. That is a universal law, to keep your heart light as a feather, and that's what Tahuti is there at that moment, which is every moment in time, because when you are in balance, when you have your light side and your dark side, your good and your bad, so to speak, when you are centered and clear and open to those spiritual laws, then you are light as a feather, and you are able to see. You spoke of miracles. You are able to recognize the miracles. You are able to walk on water. You are able to do whatever you want to do. Most of us had chosen to experience many of the lower vibrations. But it's going to be interesting to see what Chris comes in here and says. And now I'm going to sit back and wait. Is she there?
She's not here yet, but sooner or later she's going to call in, I'm sure. She made the comment about if you ask for something and you don't get it, it was because you were asking wrong. That's not true. But it is, do you feel you deserve it? Do you really sincerely believe that you deserve it? And your perception of the whole situation comes into play at this point. Your consciousness, your higher consciousness. And, well, if that's not what you said, pick up the damn phone and call in.
It is perception.
And a lot of times you have to understand that there is a balance. There's a law of balance. And so what happens here is that, okay, you may be doing all the right things, but you're still trying to balance out other things from the past that maybe you haven't balanced out yet. This works. This absolutely works 100% of the time. But you have to not only believe you deserve it, you have to deserve it. And sometimes, you know, we don't really believe that we are worthy. I mean, I can't tell you the number of people I've heard that, you know, talk about this field and then say, well, but I'm not worthy. Well, I'm messing up her schedule. Okay, I'm so sorry. That's too bad. That means you just have to type and you have to get talked over. That's all. So schedule better differently or call in tomorrow. But the reality here is that there is a balance and it's absolute. So that you know, what do I want? God, I don't really want anything. I'm really happy. But let's say I wanted to have a Cadillac. I really felt I deserved a Cadillac. I deserve a Cadillac. I want a Cadillac, a red one, not a convertible, but a red one. And I work on that. I deserve a Cadillac. I perceive it. I want a Cadillac. I see me in a Cadillac, on and on and on and on and on. But that's my conscious mind saying something. That's not my higher consciousness. My higher consciousness probably doesn't give a damn if I have a car or not.
Exactly.
So that we have to make sure that it's not your conscious mind that's making these demands, requests, whatever you want to know. It's our higher consciousness that I hesitate to say higher vibrational thing because Chris will flip out on that one. But it's that grander part of us that is a part of the God force, the spark of the infinite, whatever you want to call it. On a conscious level, we are limited tremendously by our perceptions of our physical reality. We are not a human being on a spiritual journey. We are a spirit on a human journey.
Yep.
And that's the difference. If the physical part of you wants something and feels they deserve it and is doing everything they can to make it happen, you know, really, really, really just squinting out everything and asking for it, praying for it, putting it on a vision board and whatever, that's not enough, because you have to really deserve it. And if
you
are on a higher level, go ahead.
I was going to say, I was thinking on one level is a knowing. If you have in your whole energetic field, I know the next breath is going to be there. I know, I used to say, oh, I want a car like that. By the next
mm-hmm.
week, I would have the job that gave me the car within the week after. So like in a 2-week span, I would get a job, the exact job that would give me that car at that amount of money. And it never occurred to me that that wasn't going to happen, because it was like breath. Don't look for an apartment. No, I know what I want for an apartment. It'll be there, and it'll pop up in your email. It's that kind of spiritual magic
mm-hmm.
that comes from a knowing
right.
you're talking about. Oh. It's in your heart. You don't think about it.
No,
if you
okay,
don't,
just
about
buckle
it
up,
and work.
Yeah. Buckle
hmm?
Up. Buckle up. Chris is on the All right,
oh, my God, where to start with this, you guys? Come on.
Okay. Put it out there. Let's see what you got.
Well, and it's not nothing that I haven't said. And, but, Mom, no, I don't believe that every single little micro detail of everybody's life is pre-planned. I don't believe that, but I believe that the bigger things are. But I don't like this idea that, because the out for all of the law of attraction people and all of the rest of it is they're single out on their guarantee that it will work is, well, you must not have done it right, or you must not. And then on the other side of that, to say, well, that the people that are getting it must deserve it, and that's not true either. How many of the most awful people in the world seem at least to have everything that they want? And So, you know, I think that it's sometimes you don't get it just because, maybe. But I don't like this. It feels too much like blaming the victim. If you don't get, just keep putting it out. And you know what? Like, maybe if you're asking for it the wrong way, or maybe you don't deserve it, or maybe your higher self doesn't feel you deserve it. Or I would dispute that, because your higher self probably feels that you deserve more. Your lower self doesn't feel that you deserve it, maybe, you know what I mean? But you know, like, there's all this checklist of, you know, and I'm just saying, like, it's not like that at all in my experience. You know, I've been asking in every way, in the right way, very clearly. Yes, I have been very crystal clear about what I want. And it's not that I'm asking for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so to say that the reason that I haven't got it is because, A, I've either asked for it wrong, or B, I don't deserve it is a crock, you know? How about a third thing, that if I got what I wanted, what I've been asking for, that maybe there's somebody that I'm still supposed to be in a position to meet and help, maybe, or they'll help me, whichever way.
Right.
And so I can't be out working full time yet, or whatever that deal is. It's like I said to a guy in a parking lot one time who was very, very depressed about his job, and we were just tearing down after a career fair and everything. And he was like, he goes, I don't know why I'm still here. And I said, you're still here because there's somebody that you're still here for. Somebody still has yet to walk in the doors of your office, who needs you to be the one that's there. And he cried like a little baby in that parking lot when I said that to him.
Mm-hmm.
And a little while later, after I saw him again, because it must have resonated with him, You know what I mean? Like, that's right. And, you know, the next time I saw him, he had moved on. He said you were right, blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't know why everything happens, but I do believe, like, I know that I've been placed into certain situations. At my last job, as an example, I got put into a position that only people with degrees are supposed to have, and blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, a girl comes along, blah, blah, and without me, not just anybody, but me being there at that time for her, she wouldn't be in the career that she's in today, supporting her five children. And so no matter whether kicking or screaming, I was placed to be there. And then once that was done, all of a sudden, poof, I was gone out of there. You know what I mean? So I'm just trying to say that, like, it just seems too simplified. And I believe that with all these laws, if we look at them in general and we apply them in general, then we're doing the right thing. But if we start to get all literal and everything about it, then I think that we're going down the wrong road with it. If we become too obsessive with it, I don't know if that's even the right word.
You can't make a religion of it because it's not a religion. It's an understanding of a process. And you're absolutely right. You can tear them apart so that they don't make sense anymore. Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. But from what you've said, Chris, the fact that you were at that place in time when what you said
to that
man.
I didn't ask to be there. I got put there, you see.
I understand that. But you're not asking to be unemployed either, and there you are. You must be there for a reason, don't you think?
For a reason. Yes, that's my point. I've been asking for 5 years for a meaningful full-time job where I can be helping people and at least make a wage that will support myself. I'm not asking for $1 billion a year, $100,000 a year. I'm asking for only what I need to survive and to be in an occupation that allows me to be helpful, make a meaningful difference for somebody, for people.
Right.
And that's all I'm asking for. And I haven't, you know, gotten it yet. So all I have to say is this just asking for it is bullshit, or there's a reason why I'm still where I am.
I'm pretty sure your higher consciousness knows exactly what that is.
Exactly. And are you surviving now? Because all your vocabulary, and my friend Bonnie agrees with you completely. She says all that karma stuff came later on, and all that came later on, maybe after
what we... Don't get me talking about karma.
All that listening to, and I'm hearing you say, all I need enough to survive. Well, the definition of survive, are you surviving now?
Let me say it to you this way, okay? I've asked in many different ways. I've asked specifically to be employed in an occupation that allows me to be in a meaningful and helpful role for people, that pays me enough money to pay my bills and have food, okay? That's basically the way I ask for it. I further have asked for it to be Monday, Friday, daytime, so that I can still do my show. I've been so specific with what I've asked for, you know.
But didn't you say that you jumped in and out of places and help people, and you're there to help them? You're an earth angel. And as an earth angel, you go where the energy grid takes you, those universal forces take you, the outcry. Somebody cries out for help. Guess who they send? Ta-da!
No, but Chris, you know, I understand what you're saying, and I can agree with it. The only thing is, you're keeping it on a human physical level, and these laws are not so much the human physical stuff as they are the spiritual stuff
you guys start saying be clear what you want and ask the universe for what you want, then be clear with what you're saying and say if you want anything spiritual and not physical, because we can't help you with physical things like a roof over your head or anything like that. We can only help you with your. Well, but that's what you just said.
Yes, but no, I was referring to what you were saying. But you know, when it is asked, you have to understand that you're putting something out there, and you're setting it in motion, Chris. I mean, I know the job is coming when the time is right for you. I have no doubt about it. I just don't believe at this moment in time that I think you're serving a higher purpose where you are right now. But I understand your need for the, you know, for the sustenance of actually having a roof over your head and food in your mouth and clothes.
And
on
you
your
know
body.
What? I've done it free for 5 years. Like, I've done my part. And so it just all I'm trying to say is, look, I have said before, like, a pessimist might be right, but an optimist will have a better time getting there. You know, I agree that being positive has a physical effect on you that's better than when you're angry and negative all the time. I agree with that 100%. If you can be happy and smile, but I'm not saying put on a fake smile. You know what I mean? Because that doesn't work either, you know, because inside it's ripping you apart to do that, you know? But, like, I agree. All of that hoofy-foofy stuff is right. It's right on. But that alone isn't going to get you nothing. And you know what? No matter how much bad you want that Mercedes-Benz, it may never be in the cards for you. And you might be asking the exact right way. And, you know, it's not that you don't deserve it. It's not. So, and that, see, we're dangerously treading on that area that says, and I know, but okay, on the one hand, you're not being punished if you get ill with a serious illness. No, that's not a punishment. That's not a karma thing from a past life. However, I'm not opposed to the viewpoint that before I came to this earth, if I said that part of my plan was to understand what it felt to experience an illness or a disability, then it could be fair to say that we asked for it. You know what I mean? But there's a lot of people running around saying that you're sick or you got cancer or you got this or that because you were bad to someone in a past life or you know that kind of thing.
I think that's garbage. But would you agree that if there is disharmony in your body, in your emotional self, that disharmony and dis-ease can create a sickness in the physical reality?
I think I've kind of said that, you know what I mean? But let me propose it one further to get it deeper and deeper. And it would take longer than I have or you have or any of us have, and it would take us off topic. But let's just say that in this daydream that I have that the major events in my life I have chosen before I came here, things like who are going to be my parents, where, you know, the major events in my life, and that would include, in my opinion, major illness or disease or injury. You know what I mean? Those things I call major events in your life. And Barbara, you know that whole thing about having, you didn't listen to the whispery, blah, blah, blah. You were supposed to be somewhere else. Boom, bing, bang, you got a car accident. And now you have no choice but to, you know, look at your career, you know? But I'm just trying to say like that I think that, okay, on a lower level, if I'm angry and pissed off all the time, I can make myself feel crappy. I will feel physically crappy, yes. Is there studies out there that seem to suggest that could lead to a cancer or a more serious thing? I guess there is, okay? But if in my mind, if that's happening, then that's a major event in my life that I believe I came here pre-planned in my package, in my blueprint, and however I get that illness might be different. It isn't set in stone. In fact, the exact serious illness or injury that I get might not be set in stone. You know what I mean? So, like, in my case, this car accident, it might well have been earlier in my life when I was in athletics, and I may have had serious injury as an athlete. it might have been later in my life, but just as everything, I think, is such a finely tuned, the string theory and all of that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Like, it's all just so finely orchestrated, and that's why I say we can ask for something that we want desperately, and we're asking the right way, we deserve it, and all of these things, but there's this finely tuned thing called the whole world, called the whole universe. You know what I mean? And it might be that those ripples, each step we take causes one of those strings to move. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And,
yeah.
And so that it may not be consistent with what the overall plan is. That's all I'm trying to say. And I've got no problem with having people be positive, ask for what you want. I tell people a lot, ask, send it up to the universe. It can't hurt. But I don't sit there and say, oh, well, you haven't been asking right, and all you have to do is ask properly and deserve it, and you, and whatever you want will be yours, because that is not what I believe.
So maybe that plays to the life lessons that you chose with a, maybe a whole committee helped you choose lessons that you want to learn, and if those lessons take precedent over what the the energies will still entwine in it, but I've had divine spirit say to me when I'm giving someone a reading, we asked you not to take that road. It was going to be too hard for you, but you wanted to learn this. And you think it's an idea on the other side. I can do this. You know, I'm the best game player in the universe. I can take it on. And I can come out. Look at all the people who have written books now, Neil Donald Walsh, Tyler Perry, all these people who were out there famous, they were homeless, living on the street for how many years? Eckhart Tolle, all of them, homeless. And then all of a sudden now they're big, all that in the bag of chip leaders or in their profession or what they do. So I
I kind of think this way is like, you know, like if I want to drive to Barbara's house, you know what I mean? Then I can go on Google Maps and it can take my address and her address and it can give me the most direct route to get to her. And I could get to her that way. But I could also decide I want to go up to Alaska first and then I want to jump down over into wherever. You know what I mean? I might want to go via China, in which case it's going to take me a lot longer to get to Barbara's. But my destination is still set. You see? And so that's how come, like, I get at odds with some people. They really disapprove of my or disagree with my thinking. But I go, like, that's why I try to say major events, I think, are predetermined, whatever word you guys all want to use, you know? But it's what I do in between each of those major points is my free will. You see? But and there's even like you know when what's that kind of physicist that's
quantum.
Not quantum physicist, the doctor of quantum physics said we do not have free will. And everybody's going, wow. And I'm like, I've been saying that all along, and I get a Chris wronger. Of course we have free will. And we don't have a free will. But in between these points we do have free will. With certain things.
Take the long road or the short road, and I'll get before you. It doesn't matter, but it still falls within certain.
But understand these universal laws, okay? they govern consciousness that is transmuted into energy, which anything and everything, both seen and unseen, is comprised of. So that it's not the governing of the limited intellect of this dimension. They're called universal for a reason. It's not just this lifetime. It's not just this moment in time. It is the grander scheme of it. And yes, it has impact on this reality, absolutely. But only as we consciously and higher consciously, that's where the universal laws hit. That's where we have to flow from, not in our physical mind, but in our consciousness. And there's a difference.
It was,
and I agree with everything you said, Chris. but I'm taking it to another level, and that's where the laws govern. That's where the and as physical human beings on this planet, these laws do impact us, but only as they impact our consciousnesses. So there's a difference. It has nothing to do with jobs or relationships. It has to do with how we are impacting this reality with our consciousnesses. And you know, I would love to say that it deals with cars and things and jobs and things like that, but it deals with something that is beyond those. And you know, as we harm, as we sort of blend with them and apply them to our realities, then we get the richness, but it doesn't mean that we necessarily get millions of dollars and a Cadillac. Or a Mercedes. I think maybe I'd rather a Mercedes, to tell you the truth. But
you got to make up your mind. You got to make up your mind what you want so that you can bring it to you. But as I'm listening to Chris and you know my own thoughts on it, each one of us being an individual, and each one of us having a particular life path, so to speak, we have our own way of getting to where we're going and our own time to choose to go through the portal, to open the veil, to tap into the spiritual laws that are always there for us to tap into. Sometimes for myself, I was talking to Illumination Annie Ann earlier and saying I had shedding skin. Sometimes it's a matter of looking at ourselves in the mirror, and you spoke of the mirror, Marie, looking at ourselves in the mirror to be honest with ourselves, being honest with, well, have I taken action? Have I really, I can talk a good game, you know, I know the law, I know the way, but are we really, 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 really being honest with ourselves and doing and living up to our full capacity of what we have known, not think, but what we know. You used the word know, K-N-O-W, I believe that's correct. And to knowing something, knowing that we are going to get a job, be willing to open up to other possibilities, looking in other directions, because that's my sense of you, Chris, to looking in other areas, to looking up in other directions, to create your own business, to be able to create your own business, to be able to do something that you create for yourself, to think out of the corporate box, and not just for you in that arena, but that we all be willing to think out of the boxes that we have been so conditioned to be in, because we can or we cannot. It's up to us to choose how close we go to the. I'm hearing a noise. Horrible. How close we go to the storm of.
Yeah, I'm having an amazing storm here.
I don't know.
Hearing.
Yeah, someone, Sister Marie, there cut out a bit on me. I get what you're saying and everything like that, you know what I mean? And I didn't want to, you know, like take this topic off its, you know, off its axis here or anything like that. But it just like, since Barbara practically quadruple dared me and took a tone with me, and then I had no choice but to call in. And so I think I kind of, you know, it's a discussion that could go on and on forever. You know what I mean? And this is a great roundtable discussion if there's a lot of people participating, and maybe down the road, you know, like in one of the future things, we can just like take this thing and talk about it, you know, and just let it wander where it will. You know what I mean? It'll get to the destination, but it'll take the long and winding path. But for now, I think I got my point across. Doesn't mean anyone has to agree, but like I have a strong response to it. I don't know why, but I have a strong response every time to it when all I hear is, oh, you just ask the right way, you know, and I'm all like, it's really not that easy. It really
is. But you're right. You are very right. And the discussion, if we're going to take it down to where Barbara originally wanted, we have to have a round table discussion and everyone jump on when they can if they think, because everyone out there is listening. We got to go deep because what we're talking about is the quantum level. And my friend Bonnie, who I told you totally agrees with you, said, you paint this big golden door up there and there's no stairs leading up to it. And a lot of what you're talking about is the stairs that lead up to that golden door, and people are telling you lofty things, but if you don't have practical steps, look how many people that get left down at the bottom of the steps, when even if they have wings, if they don't know they have wings, it doesn't matter. So I think what you're saying is right on, what we're saying is right on. It's the blind women describing the elephant, and it's all important.
Okay, well, hey, thanks, and I'm going to run now, okay, guys?
Okay.
Thanks,
Talk
Chris.
To you later. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. No, I think that, you know, we didn't really get off track. I think what really hit here, aside from an amazing thunderstorm, is that this is not meant to be applied absolutely to your physical reality. Because what Chris said was actually true. You know, there are lots of people that don't deserve having riches and things like that, and yet they do. At least that's in my perception. And sometimes,
and then what's
how much
riches?
You know, how much,
I mean,
how much,
I know,
you know,
people
how much,
are wealthy, but they're not healthy. Then there's people who are healthy who are not wealthy. I mean, what? It depends on your definition of all these words and terms,
yeah,
of being rich.
But, what I want to come back to again and again and again is that these universal laws govern consciousness,
yes.
How you perceive something, not necessarily the physical reality of, well, I asked for a Cadillac and all I got was a Ford. It has to do with what the spiritual needs truly are. And, I mean, I can explain to you, let me see, a long time ago, people were telling me that it was really important that I do this work full time, and I was teaching school at the time, and I kept saying, you've got to be crazy. When I retire, I will do this full time, but I will not do it full time until I retire because I can't afford to. And I said that, oh my gosh, I must have said that for years and years. And so I had a car accident and I was forced into early retirement, and here I am. So you know, I was saying I would do this when I was retired. And so spiritually speaking, I guess spirit felt that it was time for me to be retired, and so I had a car accident. Now, nobody was killed, and I was hurt just enough so that I couldn't teach anymore, but you know, it works that way. And what we put out there is what we get back. What we sincerely, energetically, on a consciousness level are putting out there is what comes back to us. And it's not so much that I'm asking for it, it's what I'm putting out, how I perceive my reality. It becomes a mirror of what's going on inside of me. And I would say to you, if you look at somebody who is struggling and having a horrible time at job stuff and everything like that, and you look at them, not that we're able to, but if they look inside of themselves, what are they going to see? What are they going to see? They're going to see the same kind of confusion that their reality has become going on inside of them. It's a wonderful mirror. If it doesn't work for you, if it doesn't feel right to you, then change the way that you are addressing your reality, the way you are flowing with your reality. Don't do a vision board, for God's sakes. I mean, a vision board, they're wonderful. They really help you focus on stuff. But will they make magic happen for you? Absolutely not. Wishing doesn't make it so. Becoming does.
You know what I found with some people, and people have asked if the world would give them small examples of the magic, of the laws. If they never see it manifest, even if they're causing the not seeing it, but if something open, and that maybe is that outforce where you call up and ask for something to change despite everything that's going on, and it just changes because of divine will or your will or God's will, maybe if I know that I'm going to get a piece. I have a friend that every time they handed out candy or anything at school, she was the one that never got in because they always ran out when they got to her. And her whole life is like that. Everybody always runs out when it comes to you. And I've spent a lot of time helping her shift that energy, but it's been a struggle and a fight. Been trained into that and maybe was born with that, maybe from family. If we can give little examples, because human beings learn by example. When they see it in their life, they feel the softness, feel the love. It makes a difference to them. They don't always intellectualize, but if they feel it tantrically, tactily, through their body and through their eyes and senses, then they can start to get it, if that makes sense.
I will give you the same answer that that the talk material puts out there are toasts, depending on who you are talking to. And it's in a couple of other places, too, and it's antiquity. And in essence, and I'm going to paraphrase because I can't Google it and find it right now, but in essence it says these laws will come to you and be clear to you and resonate to you when you are ready to understand and apply them. Until then, there's nothing there. It's like the book of the Emerald Tablets themselves. You know, it only opens to those who are ready. And you know, my theory was that all of you are sitting out there wanting to look into spiritual development and spiritual awareness. I don't know if you can hear the thunder, but it's really good. And I just had the feeling that, okay, if they're searching, then give them the laws and let them figure out, you know, how to apply them. And you don't apply it in a physical way. You apply it in a spiritual, higher consciousness way. And Moonshadow asked me what the common theme in the laws was. And I'll tell you, it's really easy. It's up to you. You have the power. You're the one that has control over all of this. You're the one that learns how to utilize your consciousness to flow in better directions, to manifest what you want in reality, what you need in reality. And it's better what you need rather than what you want. Because spiritually speaking, it doesn't matter if we're rich or poor. But the richness of spirit does matter. And once you have a richness of spirit, you have everything. And yeah, it's like Glenda the Good Witch said to Dorothy, you have the power all along. And it's true. Each and every one of us has total power over our reality. And I know Chris would disagree with this, but I'm talking on a spiritual level. I'm not talking about the physicality. Do I have enough money in the bank? Well, yeah, I do. I mean, do I have enough to play around with and be foolish? No. But you know, we all, there was a saying quite a while ago, to not wish for what you don't have, but be grateful for what you do. And that works. It absolutely works. It's sort of like, if you take away the stress and strain, if you take away the coveting, if you take away wanting more than you have, then you open yourself up to receive so much more. It's sort of like if you're grasping at everything you have in reality. If you have a fist, if you're grasping at the things you have, holding onto them, not wanting to lose them, there's no way you can have a receiving hand for what the universe would share with you if you only stopped just grasping at straws. And but we're talking a spiritual concept. We're not talking the physical stuff. And I think that's where so often we stumble when we're talking about these universal laws. I mean, yes, they do transfer into physical reality amazingly. And they apply to our physical reality, but only in as we are able to, on a consciousness level, flow with them and allow them to manifest things within our reality. Can we work miracles? Yes, of course we can. We have that spark of God within us, the infinite within us, and we are capable of anything. Do we believe it? No. If we believed it, we could make it so. And that's kind of sort of like Peter Pan and Tinkerbell, you know, you have to believe, you have to have faith. And faith is, and it's not religion. It's not religion. It's not a religion, it's a reality. So that faith and believing in yourself, in the power within you, in that speck of the infinite, that speck of that, of the universal cosmic oneness, whatever you want to call it, I hate saying God because it limits the capacity of that energy. But it is something that we are capable of, that all of us are capable of, that we have that richness within us and we don't believe it. And it's been pounded out of us by parents, by teachers, certainly by religions. Religions don't want you to know that you're a part of the infinite. They really don't want you to know that you have a part of that universal oneness inside of you. They don't want you to know that. They want to make you kowtow, and they want to make you contribute, and they want to make you buy your redemption and your freedom or whatever. And you can't. That's not what spirit is about at all. Spirit is absolutely, totally all-embracing and all-encompassing. And it's important that you understand that this goes. I'm not saying religion is something you shouldn't have. If you want religion, then find absolutely it's wonderful, have it. But you don't need it. The spirit within you goes beyond religion. It's a wonderful foundation, but reach beyond it. Don't be limited by it. Spread your arms and embrace the universal instead of just taking some group of people's concept of what religion should be. And there's so many different ones. But they're all based on the golden rule. We went into that before. They're all based on the golden rule. The fundamental foundation of every major religion out there is do unto others. Now, that has to have some meaning to you. That has to let you know that we are one family, one brotherhood, whatever, or sisterhood, one family, anyhow. But these laws, I urge you, read through them over the next week. You know, we're going to start looking into them next week and maybe even beyond. I would love for you to find one that's a favorite and bring it to the table so that we can all talk about it. So that, you know, find one that really resonates to you. There are some of them that are, you know, are easy and whatever, and there are some that you know, Chris was talking about karma, and she didn't want to hear about it, but karma is something that we do pick up. It is it is important to address it, and you know, there are a whole bunch of wonderful I can't pronounce it, but the law of Bodhisattva. It's Sanskrit for metaphysical adepts, and it speaks of one who has transcended the need of earthly incarnations but chosen to return to earth to support others in achieving enlightenment. I would say Christ probably was one of those. Can't think of anybody else that I would actually put into that one boat, but Christ definitely was here to help, and we killed him. But the vibration, the law of vibration is fun. They're the ones that everybody's heard of, but then, you know, the law of reflection is another really good one. But let's look at not the ones that are common, because everybody knows of those and everybody is, you know, read into them. But look them over, read through them. The ones at the very, very back, I thought were amazing, and they are. Okay, let me see if there's even in this here. I ran it all off, and then, of course, it's all out of order now, so I'll bring it to the table next week. It's at the very, very back of the stuff that I sent you, and it deals with the laws that were supposedly based on the gospel. So, you know, everybody's gotten into here, and it's really kind of fascinating. And certainly the Emerald Tablet stuff and the Toth material is fascinating. And, yes, we'll go into that at some point in time. I'm working at putting a some sort of a timeline on it so that I can help to explain, you know, where everything started and where everything went. And it does, as Marie said, it absolutely does go into quantum physics, and it goes into alternate realities, and it goes into alternate dimensions. So, but we got to understand these laws. I don't want to hop, skip, and jump over them. I want you to really read them and at least go through them, and at least we'll talk about them next week, and then we'll move on to other things. But it's really important that we have a fundamental understanding of them, so that when the time is really right, a light bulb goes on, and you start to, on a higher consciousness level, actually truly apply them to your life and see how the changes can happen. I don't expect everybody's going to go read through them and say, oh, my God, of course. And life takes on another flow, a different flow. It takes time. First time I went through them had to be, oh, cripe, almost 50 years ago. So that you know, it's taken me a very long time to realize when I mess up. but at least I know I'm messing up, and I know hopefully how to shift the focus and shift the consciousness so that things flow a little more sweetly and kindly for me and everybody around me. But the mystery schools are just amazing. Graduating from graduate school. Let me tell you, the school we're in is just, I would say that we're in kindergarten here, all of us, not just you guys, but me too. We have so much to learn. And the more you learn, the more you can apply to your life, the more that you talk with people about this material, the more greatly you evolve. It's in the talking, it's in the sharing that you learn, that you expand, and that you add material to basically, when we talk, when we go back and forth like we were doing tonight, and I would love it for more of you to call in next time, when you have those kinds of discussions, what's happening is you are gathering material to either strengthen or shift and change and add to your inner truths. And your inner truths are those concepts that your spirit is guiding you by, and it's fine to expand on them. It's time to change them. It's time to say, wait a minute, this doesn't work. Let me see what does work and add to it. Everybody's inner truths shift and change as they get older and wiser and reach for new understanding and philosophies. Finding new paradigms is one of the most exciting parts of being human and being here in the planet, on the planet. It's really important that we work towards understanding these laws and understanding that it is consciousness. Consciousness. It's the consciousness that we're working with. We're not working with the so much the physical consciousness of the here and the now. We're not working with only what we've learned this lifetime through experience and our senses. We're working with the consciousness that has the power to make the changes. The little part of our consciousness, the 5 or 7% that we are constant, that we reason with in this reality, that we survive this reality with, that does not have the power. But the higher consciousness does. And if we can sort of bridge that gap and blend the two, man, then we've got it made. Marie, you've got anything to add here?
Well, what just came to my mind, and it's on this topic but a little bit off, I'm wondering, is there a way that we can set up a blog or a chat where even in between our circle classes we can put our thoughts out there and then dialogue back and forth with one another when we think about it, so it kind of builds up a momentum by the time we get here. Everyone's, even though you send out that information, but the dialogue sometimes adds to it. But by the time they get here, they'll be really ready to share.
Okay. Yeah, I can create a blog and stick it out there.
Okay, that would be cool.
It's,
I think.
I will put it out there, and I'll send you all the address to it, and have at it. I will get it out there tomorrow.
Yay. I don't know if everybody else wants to do it, but I think it would be kind of fun.
Well, it won't be private. I'm sure that anybody who's interested, anybody who wants to will, sort of be in there talking too. But, I'll put a blog out there. I have no problem with that at all. It takes 5 minutes. I'll put a Spiritual Development Circle blog out there.
Thank you.
I
think very little of what we ever say is personal and private anymore anyway in this day and age. So.
No.
I have nothing else to say. If you'd like, I can probably find an email copy of the Spirit of Wisdom, the book that Divine Brother, I call him Toth, gave us with all the forces, and email that to you. If you want to know more about it than I do, so you'd be helping me a lot by looking at it. I just downloaded the information.
Oh, sure. No, and I'll return you some links on the talk material, especially the stuff that Dr. Doral put together. It's all in free verse poetry. It's interesting. The only trouble is that it flips around, so that that's what I'm struggling with. I'm trying to pull it together and put it into some sort of chronological order, so that the whole process is more easily explained. But the reality is, it's sort of like the information comes to you when you're ready for it. So. And I keep tripping over it all over the place these days, so it's really been quite fascinating that, this is something I need to deal with, as well as all the other little things that I have that I'm doing. But I will definitely put a blog up there later this evening. I'll send you all the link to it, and please feel free to share. I will go back from time to time, and I will... I will take things off if they don't directly apply. I will monitor it. Yes, and the other thing, it's not that Big Sister is watching you. It's just that it's not a place to advertise for couches that are for sale or a place to find readings and stuff like that. It's a place to share the spiritual material that we've been talking about, and please feel free. There's no right and there's no wrong, and I will get it out there to you. So you have a place where you can talk behind my back, except I will be watching.
Oh, Barbara, I just also want to say, since you mentioned that all of these materials seem to be flowing to you now, I want everyone to know that you are chosen because of your gifts of understanding and being the blind woman describing the elephant is so important, because as we think it and discuss it, it goes into the collective consciousness and it is digested in a way that the general public of people can understand. So they depend on you to take this information and disseminate it in your brain and then regurgitate it in something that's very palatable and usable. Even as Chris was saying, she's speaking for a lot of people. Hey.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a very nice compliment. I mean, I've been bitching a lot that there was no place to talk spiritual philosophy, and there should be spiritual philosophy material out there, and there should be spiritual groups out there that talk philosophy. Not how do you give a reading and stuff like that, but how do you live your life more spiritually? And I complained once too often, and finally got the message that I've told so many people in readings all over the last few years. You know, if what you want isn't there, create it. And again, this is one of those other instances of if you don't walk it, you can't talk it. So I really like if you can't find what you like out there, create it. So it was a matter of do I create the circle or do I shut up about my phrase? And I like my phrase too much, so here's the circle. So,
thank you so much for that.
My pleasure, my pleasure. And I just noticed the time. I want to thank everybody for turning up. I want to thank everybody for reading the material, I hope. And I will put the blog out there later on this evening. I will email all of you the connection to it. And I will make sure that this show is public as soon as we're all done. So thank you for everybody for being here. Thank you, Marie, for talking. And thank you, Queen, for talking. I so appreciate your talking. And thank you, Deb, for being here and helping me figure out who's who. We have a few people we have to figure out, but we'll nail it down sooner or later here. And hopefully, you know, some of you will decide to come tomorrow and add to the group tomorrow. And always welcome. So please join us 1 p.m. Eastern Time tomorrow, and you have the address because I sent it out with this address, and you all found this one, so I assume you'll find that one too. So I'm going to play us out with one of my favorites, along with the thunder, and I will see all of you hopefully next week Thursday and or maybe tomorrow. And if I don't, then have a great 4th, and I'll see you next time. Good night now. Thank you.